Good?
Bad.
WTF. Well, I'm
thinking.
Welcome to episode 62 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF Are They Thinking? Peter, how are we?
I'm good. It's summer. I have my sangria at hand.
Lovely.
And
very, very carnival.
Enjoying life.
Enjoying life, yeah. The temperature is a bit better today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was in the 20s.
This week has been hot.
Yeah, I suppose it kind of has. It was pretty humid the other week. The other day, sorry. Yeah, it's been all right. We're getting there. It's starting to actually feel a certain type of way. And with weather comes moods, and with moods comes
weather.
Certain things you do that you wouldn't normally do. So like, is there a type of movie that you'd only watch in the summertime, maybe because it gives you a certain feeling?
Yeah, I can think of two movies in particular. I don't know if I always watch them around this time. Maybe two or three, actually, now thinking about it.
Go on.
Jaws, I think that's a good summertime movie. That's one
that's a good summertime movie.
You can watch it any time, but I think Jaws works. Do the Right Thing, because it's like one of the hottest days of the year it's set on. So that kind of reminds me of summer. And it's very bright. There's very bright colours in that movie. Mm-hmm. And the last one was going to be The Burbs.
Yeah, The Burbs, I can see. It's a very suburban film set in the summer anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
What could I think of? The Sandlot, I would say, is like feels like a summer vacation sort of movie, you know, summer break sort of movie. I can't think of it anymore.
A goofy movie? After today, I'm going to sit on my butt.
The In-Betweeners movie?
Yeah.
Maybe? They're in Magaluf or wherever they are. Shagaluf is what they call it.
The Pussy Patrol.
The Pussy Patrol. That is a good movie. Speaking of movies, is there any movie you watched this week other than the main event, of course? Anything you want to...
Yeah, I finally got around to watching Drive My Car.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say another movie that I watched this week.
You didn't watch that movie?
You didn't. No, I thought you'd say another movie, but you didn't.
Okay. Well, I watched this movie. It was like nearly 3 hours long. So I kind of watched it in parts because it was hefty and I didn't have enough time to watch a full 3 hour movie. So I watched it in I watched an hour and three quarters one day and the rest the next day. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. It's a slow burner, but it was enjoyable. It's a weird movie to say that it's as good as it is because it's hard to really say what it's about. If you give the premise of the story, which is about a theater director trying to produce a Russian play of Uncle Vanya, that's it, and that it's hard to like really push that one because it is just that. It is just a lot of talking, a lot of people rehearsing scenes. Yeah, it's really engaging for a movie that feels like nothing's going on. A lot of things are going on.
Okay. I need to get around to watch it. Where did you watch it? Is it available anywhere? Or did you have to
Mubi.
Buy it?
Mubi. It's on Mubi.
Mubi. It's a big Mubi. This guy is sponsored by Mubi and he's just not telling
me. Come on, Mubi. Sponsor us.
Sponsor you.
Sponsor me. Yeah, just...
Sponsor you.
Just, yeah, I'll just walk through life just promoting Mubi. I'm fine with that. If that's what Mubi wants to do, that's fine with me.
I'm sure Mubi are listening. I watched the movie, actually. Last week, and it was a movie that I have been waiting a long time to see, and I wanted to see it in the cinema, but for some reason I just never got around to it. Licorice Pizza, I saw it is on Sky Store, so I paid for it because I saw it on there and I was like, what's £2.99, you know, you go to the cinema and it costs way more than that anyway, so what's £2.99, screw it, treated myself, got it, loved it, absolutely loved that movie. and I'm glad I watched it. And I tell you what, coming away from that movie, there's one thing I definitely want to see, and that's a John Peters biopic. That's what I want to see. With Bradley Cooper as John Peters, of course.
There you
the
go.
Man who was married to Barbra Streisand. Do you know much about him? His life sounds ridiculous.
I don't know much about him. I don't really know what Licorice Pizza's about, but I think the joy of not knowing is...
Yeah, yeah. I won't tell you.
Into it, yeah.
I won't tell you, because I didn't really know what it was about either. And I won't ruin it, but John Peters, anyway, real person. American film producer who started off as a hairdresser. So imagine he got into the industry as a hairdresser, and he did the wigs for Barbra Streisand. And he went from that to being basically heading up Sony and making, you know, millions and millions of dollars as a film producer. And part of the reason, you know, that Superman came back to the big screen. In fact, he was paid money not to be on the set of Superman because of how eccentric and annoying and controlling he can be on set. So he was paid money to stay off the set for Man of Steel, I think it was. But anyway, there's a lot of interesting stories about him. And after
all
watching
this
the movie,
time, I've not been going to movie sets for free.
Yeah,
I just
exactly.
want that to be known.
Exactly. He was also part of Batman Returns as well, exec produced that. Obviously, Star is Born played a big role in that as well. So
the Chris Christopherson one and Barbra Streisand one, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's also credited as a producer on the new one as well, but I think that's okay. Mainly because of the original. But anyway, his life sounds just absolutely mental, and he was just a hairdresser who was going around shagging. Big personality, didn't give a fuck about who he offended, and just, you know, was like a freight train going through Hollywood. Then there used to be something on him. I feel like everyone in Hollywood who's crossed his path would probably have a story about him, because I was reading loads and they were very interesting. And he also claims that he was inspiration for, I think it was that, what movie was it? There was a movie he said he was the movie Shampoo. You ever seen the movie Shampoo? Warren Beatty's
years
character
ago,
in Shampoo.
Yeah. I've seen it years ago.
He claims that he was the inspiration for Warren Beatty's character in Shampoo.
I know that Warren Beatty played a hairdresser. That's all I remember about Shampoo.
There you go. But that's who he said he inspired that role. Anyway, Bradley Cooper's portrayal of him, fantastic. Really good. And I can see why you said that people were talking about a potential Oscar nod just for those 10 minutes on screen. That 10 minutes of the movie, or it's probably a bit longer than that, to be fair, but that portion of the movie is so good. It's so good, and you can't take your eyes off the screen for the whole time. So you have to credit Bradley Cooper's performance there, because that is pretty impressive. I was locked to the screen, really locked in, like, fucking hell, this scene's so good. And it's just very captivating, very captivating. And this is an interesting movie as well, because all the people in it, like, it was like a family affair in a way. You know, you had Maya Rudolph in there, his wife. You had George DiCaprio, Leo's dad. You had a Spielberg daughter. You had Hoffman's son. You had the Haim sisters and their real dad in the movie. This was an interesting movie, basically. And we could talk about this movie for a whole podcast if you watch it, because I could talk about this movie for ages. I loved it. But
we're not gonna. Because it would confuse everybody about what the title of this episode is.
It would confuse everybody. So without further ado, enough Licorice Pizza and more about Carnival of Souls. Carnival of Souls, this week's movie. Peter chose it, so take it away.
I did. Did you watch it on Pluto TV? Where did you source this movie?
No, because Pluto TV, unfortunately, I couldn't get it on the big screen. I wanted to watch it on the big screen. Didn't want to watch it on my laptop. And my laptop, I can't connect up to the big screen. So long story short, there is a thing within Amazon, as there is with, you know, Amazon has it all. Within Amazon Prime, I think, is it called Redbox or something? Something like that?
Maybe.
I got this... It might be Redbox. Sorry if I'm wrong. I got a 7-day free trial with that, and I watched it through that so I could watch it on the big screen. And I'm kind of glad I did, because yeah, it deserved the big screen. I didn't want to watch it on my laptop.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's give a little brief summary of what the movie's about. So the movie is about a woman who, after a traumatic accident, is drawn to a mysterious abandoned carnival. Now, I assume this is your first ever viewing of Carnival of Souls?
It is indeed my first ever viewing of Carnival of Souls.
Okay, so straight off the bat, first impression.
First impression is this felt like a very misunderstood movie. And I did a lot of background research on this movie because it is very interesting. You watch the movie and immediately you're like, how was this his last film he ever did?
And first,
that's what I mean. Like, how did he not have another film after this? What the fuck happened? It does feel ahead of its time in a way, and you can see the cult status, and I feel like it deserves its cult status. It was very good. It was very, very kind of scary, very eerie. Mm. The acting was good on such a low budget as well. It's just a really good movie. My only criticism with it was probably too short. Hour and 18 minutes.
It fits in well with the time because back then, horror movies, B movies, because this is a B movie, and back then it held more significance. Nowadays, B movies are A movies. They're the movies that people go to the cinema. They're the movies that are getting all the money. But back in the 60s, when did this come out? 1962, when you had movies like Lawrence of Arabia, which were the big budgets, and movies like Carnival of Souls, which were, what, 33,000 or something like that? And obviously it's a role reversal now. The first time I ever saw this movie, the first time I ever heard about this movie was on Cinemassacre's Monster Madness. Mm. I'm still a big fan of Cinemassacre and everything they do, but they still do it. They do a 30-day or 31-day Monster Madness, which is every day they review a horror movie in the month of October for Halloween. And they did Carnival of Souls, and that's where I first heard about this movie. And I've sequentially come across it a few times in my life, normally on like weird channels. Because it's public domain, which is the harsh thing about this movie. It's a public domain movie, which basically means that they couldn't get the rights for the movie. So it means that any money wasn't contributed to them. It's a sad state of affairs. A lot of movies have been tainted with this. Nightmare, Night of the Living Dead is a prime example of a public domain movie, and there's so many. That is obviously one of the biggest problems was that. I think also, like you said, it was ahead of its time. It's not a movie about a girl. It's a psychological thriller. And this was the viewing that I realized. I don't know how many times I've seen it, but this was the viewing for me. Maybe I watched it more closely than I've ever done before. This is the viewing for me where I felt there were so many layers and so many different interesting aspects. Like things that you would normally see in a horror movie of this caliber, of let alone back then, but now, of throwaway scenes. For example, the love interest or the guy. Normally, he would be like the savior, wouldn't he? Be the man who saves the day. I'm talking about the character John Linden here. Normally, a character this comes in like a swashbuckler. You know, he comes in, he's going to save the day. He's going to be the knight in shining armor. And this guy is a real sleazebag. And for the whole movie, he's a real sleazebag. And I think it had such an interesting dynamic. It really alienates her. And I thought about so many movies after this about sort of these women that are sort of like that feel alienated and feel like they can't connect with society. And I thought of like one of your favorite movies, Under the Skin. I thought Under the Skin, you could see Under the Skin took some ideas from this movie.
Yeah, I guess so. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies. I do like that movie, but I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies. Yeah, this was what's interesting about this movie. Yeah, I feel like this was like a bit unlucky in the way. So looking at some of the stories that happened, they lost a bit of footage. His check was bouncing when he came back from filming loads of stuff in South America, he came back and his check was bouncing. You had her agent refused to represent her after this movie. There's just like a lot that went kind of wrong behind the scenes, and that's probably what led to it, you know, its downfall. And it wasn't traditional in a way, like you say. You had his character who wasn't very likable at all. In fact, after the movie was done, I was saying, beat it, toots. You know, he kind of reminded me of that kind of character, you know. Beat it, hey, beat it, toots. Hey, what you doing around here, you know? I'm a wise guy. You're walking around with me, you know? It was a showboater, wasn't he? It was a showboater.
I don't want people to think I hang around with scum like you.
Yeah, exactly. That scene was kind of gave us a lot more of his character when he was in the bar, wasn't it?
Hey, you're probably not too much. I think you didn't need to know that. I mean, I think that was. I felt like I was watching a
different movie. Yeah. I felt like I was watching a different movie with that scene. Hey, you don't drink. You barely said a word. You know, it was kind of like that's when it kind of fell into its year and its.
Yeah,
that's when it really felt like it was a movie from the 60s. But then when we came away from that, it felt like it could have been any time that movie, this movie could have come out. But good story. It was a very good story. Very good slow build. I would have liked to see the movie in its entirety with, you know, the footage that was obviously lost. I would have liked to have seen the actual proper finished product. So that's a bit disappointing, but that's just, I guess, it is what it is. But that aside, I think it was a pretty well put together movie.
I think the first feelings I have about the movie are, if I had to think of two words, it would be eerie.
Yeah, and very eerie.
Atmospheric.
The organ.
Yeah.
Score throughout this movie.
Brilliant. Very surreal. Very.
That works.
I read somewhere, and I didn't want to take this as my own quote. I saw a video essay from somewhere that said it feels like this might be the first movie where the score is actually inside the person's head. Like, that's narrating her head. Like, that's the music she can hear. And I thought that was a very interesting take, because as soon as I heard him say that, I thought, yeah, you know what? I think there's a lot to be said about that. I think this movie's appeal is its standout set piece, which is the carnival, which is the, if I get it right, this is the Saltaire Pavilion in Salt Lake City, which was burnt down.
The inspiration for the movie as well.
Was the inspiration for the movie. It burnt down originally, so they had the abandoned building then. Then they resurrected it. Then it burnt down again. Coincidence?
Maybe it's a pretty haunted that place.
Stuff there. Yeah, maybe. I reckon, you know, paranormal investigations may have taken place there. I think it's so wonderfully set. I think that's a golden nugget. I can't imagine you finding a place like that today and being able to film. I think that's such a treasure that you have such a... It's creepy already. Carnivals are creepy when you think about them, especially if you're alone in them. For example, a movie I love, The Fun House, is about these kids that stay in a carnival overnight. And that is creepy. And when you think of the old Goosebumps or Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes, they did the same thing. And this one really edges on that creep. I think the fact it's in black and white really works, because the makeup looks very ghoulish, like the white face and the black eyes, and they just linger in the scene, especially the dance scene when they're all dancing in the carnival. I really thought that reminded me of The Shining. I really thought that was so powerful, that scene, and so cerebral. You know, you're thinking, what's this about? What's happening here? And it really lures you into like a lucid nightmare, is how I can describe it. It really feels like we've entered a non-reality. We've entered a fantasy right now.
Yeah, that scene where they're all dancing in the carnival is, you can tell that's like a scene which, when you're making a movie and you have a certain certain scenes in your head, that's the one where you're like, this has to look exactly how I imagined it, because this is kind of what, you know, we're building this idea around in a way. It was kind of almost building up to that point. And you can tell as well with the storyline and the way it's kind of the pacing of the movie, you can tell that it's inspired other movies and inspired other, you can see how it inspires other directors, because it is, in terms of its genre, it's ahead of its time. I would like to, I'm interested to see how the remakes have, you know, I imagine the 1998 one was probably fucking terrible. But the 2008 one called Yellow, which is like an unofficial remake, the German movie, that has good reviews. So that would be interesting to see how they take it. It's basically the same storyline, so it'd be interesting to see how that works.
It's weird because it's not, I wouldn't say this is like, when you think of what the actual story is and the ending is, it's a story we've heard like thousands upon thousands of times. You know, that is the traditional story. I'm not going to say even back then it wasn't totally original. It wasn't. I think it's just this cult movie that people have grasped. They've obviously seen this late at night.
Yeah.
Because this is how I imagine. This is a late at night. This is like a midnight showing. Like, this is something that you watch with the lights off, with popcorn on, and you could watch this movie with the sound muted. I mean, you'd miss the organ music, but this could almost be a silent movie because it's just the shocking imagery. Like, when you see the man who's actually played by the director himself, Herc Harvey, when he just like ascends from the water, when he's just underneath the water, that's creepy. Actually, when any of them ascend from the water, and just any time you see him, even when you know he's going to be there, it's almost sort of a bit fun, isn't it? Like in the psychiatrist's chair, when he's turned around, and you know it's him there. You already like twig that it's going to be him. It just feels like this is off. And it feels surreal right now, this moment. You're thinking, he's going to turn around. It's not going to be the psychiatrist. It's going to be the ghoul. And it is. And you're excited and you're waiting for it. Horror movies are more like jump scares now, or gore. Well, this one is like anticipated spooky fun. You know?
Yeah. 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 It is. It's exactly that. Whenever he graces the screen, it is pretty good, and he's good at playing that character. Herc Harvey, he's an interesting character. He's an interesting guy in general, isn't he? When you look into his career, this being the only movie he made, but it's good to see that he lived long enough to see his movie kind of be loved by an audience as well, which is good.
It's a payoff, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a slight payoff, and he's probably, you know, that you can feel satisfied about your work. Then it'd be horrible if this movie was just something that he never got to see its success, and it just kind of just fizzled out, and then ended up. You know, this is a beautiful thing about movies. Cult classics can be born from any era. You release that movie's out there. What happens to it next doesn't mean it's gonna disappear into nothingness. It can come back. And that's exactly what happened to this movie.
I think that's the true power of cinema right there. Yeah. It just gets picked up. And this movie to me feels like a word of mouth movie. I can imagine like people, I can imagine like drive-in theaters. I can imagine home releases. I can imagine people just picking up this movie and saying, hey, did you see this really cool movie? And then either like recording it off VHS and saying, here, borrow that, and just like throwing it around. And people just digging it because it's just eerie enough and weird enough to be completely rewatchable. Even if I feel that you're not a big fan of this movie, it's a movie that you want to see again, and it's a movie that you think about because it stands out. It does have memorable scenes. And there's so many movies out there that I've watched and you've watched where you can't remember them. It's like, have you seen that movie? Yeah, I have. What happened in it? I can't remember. Like, I literally cannot remember everything that happened in that movie. Even movies that we've reviewed on this channel. Like, you asked me what's so-and-so? What happened in that movie? It's like, I have no idea what happened in Maximum Security. I know Dolph Lundgren wasn't tried anymore. That's all I remember, that movie. But you know what I mean? There's so many movies out there that are instantly forgettable. that this movie just has so many scenes that just stick out. And they're like nightmare scenes. But the idea of like someone following you, the idea of being in a carnival, these are scenes of nightmares.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're exactly the scenes of nightmares, aren't they? That's what's so good about it. It's wonderfully done, and it was a joy to watch as well. I enjoyed this movie. I'm glad I saw this movie. It's one of those movies that I would recommend to someone on Halloween night. I want to watch a scary movie that I've never seen before. You'd be like, oh, but you've never seen this one, because this may be one of the best films that a lot of people haven't seen, especially within its genre. It is great. It's a great movie.
Absolutely. It's inspired countless amount of people. I mean, you can see Insidious in this movie. You can see George A. Romero, David Lynch, you know, this sort of like otherworldly stuff.
You can see, have you ever seen the movie It Follows?
Yes.
Yeah, you can see a bit of that as well. Like the pacing of that, the fact that there's always something like over the shoulder haunting them. Obviously, the storyline definitely different, but the imagery and stuff like that, and the pacing and the eeriness, it has that kind of feel to it as well. So you can see maybe a little bit inspired. Who knows?
And it's still in the pop culture right now. I mean, you can see music videos with images of this movie. For example, Knife Talk by Drake. You know, 13 Beaches by Lana Del Rey. There are countless. It's lived on through its name, and maybe that should like segue us into like the next bit we want to talk about. Well, I didn't want to do a top five because this was a really hard movie to last think of, like, what top five ghouls, top five like spooky abandoned places. I felt like this was
I wanted to do the ghouls one.
It would have been, top five Scooby-Doo episodes, who knows? It felt like a good moment to talk about a interesting category in film. Sometimes I think it's a category that is overused and misunderstood or misrepresented. But I think this movie, out of any movie that we've done prior, even though, you know, when you look at Grind, when you look at The Holy Mountain, I think those are cult movies themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that Carnival of Souls is one of the cult movies. To me, it's a pure cult movie because it's a movie that is still only really loved by a selected amount of people, and a lot of people still don't know it. And to me, that is what a cult movie is. It's a movie that is... It doesn't really matter if the perception of the majority is if it's good or bad, but it has a strong following that love this movie and love it for all its perfections and imperfections. So let's just go straight off with it and ask you the question, how do you define a cult movie?
It's hard to describe what you said. The way I see a cult... I mean, my sort of description of my head, I was about to say what makes something a cult movie, or what something becomes a cult movie. But I suppose you've described what a cult movie is. But for something to become a cult movie, I would say it's a film that comes out, doesn't get a big mainstream audience, and is immediately dismissed. But it will have like a small fan base maybe at the time, and then that fan base will grow. Because sometimes the movie, when it comes out at the wrong time, you know. Some place it's like right thing, wrong time. It doesn't connect with the audience straight away. And then through the years, people refer back to it. Certain people at television networks may love the movie and give it a chance to broadcast it. And that also could be a part of its success. You know, some of the cult fans of some of these movies could be the people who work for the companies that put them in front of our eyes in the first place. So that can definitely help. I think you've perfectly described what a cult movie is, though. I don't think there's anything I can really add to that, apart from a bunch of cult movies that I love.
Well, I was just trying to think, like, is there a point where a cult movie doesn't become a cult movie anymore?
Yeah, when it has Pulp Fiction, would you say that's a cult movie? Because it's listed as a cult movie on Google. When you type in...
Well, yeah, that's one of my complaints or one of my reasons that it might be misrepresented, because one that you could arguably say is a cult movie, which I disagree with, is Star Wars. I would say the same with Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction, if you go back to 1994, Pulp Fiction was a huge deal. That wasn't a movie that nobody liked when it came out. That was a movie that was lauded by the critics. Siskel and Ebert, did an entire episode on Pulp Fiction. It was lauded. It was praised as a masterpiece of its day.
Yeah.
For me, I think those movies are fandom. I wouldn't say they're cult movies. I'd say they're fandom movies. I'd say the general consensus are these are great movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel with cult movies, there needs to be a little bit of backlash, a little bit of dividing opinions, you know. When it came out initially, maybe people didn't like it. People were like, what the hell is this? And it didn't initially resonate with the audience. So, I mean, but then you have other cult movies where it's like, it's so bad that it's good. The one I'm talking about, The Room, is obviously famous. That's got a cult following. It's probably less so now. They've actually made, the James Franco movie came out. It's probably less culty now, isn't it? And a bit more kind of, I don't know.
I think it still would be, because it's a bad movie. I've watched the movie. It's a bad movie. You cannot watch that movie and enjoy that movie.
It's horribly put
even
together.
Laugh. It's a terrible movie. It's the best way to watch that movie is to watch Nostalgia Critic's video essay on The Room.
Yeah,
that's the best version. That's the best edited version of The Room. Because honestly, watching an hour and a half of that movie, it is unbearably bad. It's not a good movie to watch.
Yeah, so it's almost like, but that would almost not make it a cult then, wouldn't it? Because do people like it? Like, do people actually find a bit of joy in it? Would you say that you have to enjoy the movie in some way or see the beauty of the movie in some way to call it a cult classic? Or would you just say that movie is just so bad, people would pretend to like it or pretend to be a fan of it because, I don't know, because it's something to be a part of?
It's almost like when you're not a part of it.
It's almost like,
I mean,
satirically, like, oh, I like this. It's satire that I like this movie. Do you know what I mean? Do you really like it? No, it's terrible. I hate the movie's terrible. So would that not be, that wouldn't be a cult classic then, would it? Because it'd be like, no, actually, you're admitting it's bad, but you're pretending to like it because it's funny to like it.
The only counter argument I can have for that one, obviously, I think The Room does count. And my only counter argument to it is trauma movies. Trauma is cult, and I do like trauma movies. One of my favorite trauma movies, which I've got on Blu-ray, I watch more times than probably most movies I've seen, is Class of Nukem High. I know that Class of Nukem High is not a good movie. Yeah, I love that movie. I don't think it's a bad movie, but I think they purposely made a bad movie, which I think is hard. I think it's hard to purposely make a bad movie.
Yeah.
And for me,
yeah, it is.
I watch that movie. I sing the theme song when it plays. I know it off by heart. And I remember the first time I saw that movie. The first time I saw that movie was, I was ill when I was at high school and I had a day off. And it's back when we had like Sky Plus and we record stuff off the TV. And I recorded a movie called Class of Nukem High on Horror Channel. And I watched it with a prawn sandwich and a bottle of Lucozade with my covers on the sofa. Because you remember the first time you fall in love.
All right, fair play.
I always remember it because it was a movie that really was like, wow, this is like batshit crazy. It was probably one of the first batshit crazy movies I've ever seen. I love it. I think trauma itself is very niche. I think trauma itself is cult. Like you're either for trauma or against trauma, and trauma will never try to soften their edges for anybody else. Sometimes it's not good. Like sometimes they make bad movies, but they've got some really good gems in their canon.
Yeah.
Hence, Class of Nukem High. And I would count that as, a lot of people might look at Troma and say, well, they're bad movies, but I love them. for the same reason as The Room. So it's hard to... That's why it's hard to discredit The Room as a cult movie, in my opinion, for purely for Troma's existence.
Okay, that's your right. That's your argument there. Okay, okay. I've got a movie then. Would this be considered a? Would a good movie that not many people know about? So, like, if you went down a pub and said, "Have you seen this movie?" and the pub was filled with 40 people, how many people would say? How many people were saying, "Yeah, I've seen that movie"? Over 10%? Less than 10%? Would you say it's a good movie? Less than 10% of people have seen it. But they haven't not seen it because it's like a big movie that everyone knows about that they haven't seen. It's maybe a movie which completely passes them in their life.
Yeah, or a movie that they hate. I think it's either a movie that was hated when it first came out or a movie that was completely disregarded, was not even
not
on the
really
radar.
Seen. Or like not remembered.
Well, yeah, not on the radar, yeah.
Okay, so I've got a movie for you. This was one of my favourite movies, 2002. Launched the career of Neil Marshall, Dog Soldiers.
Yeah, I think that could count as a cult movie. I would say it's still, even like The Descent, I would say it's still a movie that I don't know how many people have seen it.
I don't know how many people
are talking about it. but I can imagine that it has its following. You'd have to look out for like a dog. It's a cult. It might be a small cult. You know, it's not like a Jim Jones cult. You could start a Dog Soldiers cult.
I love that movie when that first came out. I love that movie. Do you know what? I've never actually looked up this movie since watching that movie back in the day. It's just always in my head. It's always been a good movie. So I never wanted to see anyone else's opinion on it. Now I've looked at it. This movie got good reviews when it came out.
I remember.
I didn't know that.
Anyone that I've known that has seen the movie likes the movie. I don't know anyone that doesn't like the movie.
I don't know anyone that's seen it. But to be fair, I've not really asked around either.
I've asked like two or three people. Like, it's not like I can't say the percentage is low at the moment of who's seen the movie. Five people, as I can now count in my head. I don't know if the director's.
You're asking it. Yeah. I mean, he probably has. I mean, he's had a decent career afterwards, hasn't he? He's done okay for himself.
He's good.
he's not done too bad for himself. Yeah, Dog Soldiers for me, like, I loved that movie when that first came out. And I didn't. This is back when I was watching movies and I didn't fucking know what the hell. I didn't know I was watching a good movie. Which.
Nah.
Brings me to a movie
before the internet,
way before. Yeah, 2002 was not on the internet. It was there, I think, but I wasn't really on it. What's a movie that you liked? Now, this could potentially be a cult movie. You're gonna know what I'm gonna say, don't you? It's the dinosaur movie. You had it on
DVD. Was it the movie I was gonna say? I still have it on DVD.
You had it on DVD.
If that's the one, yeah, I still have it on DVD right
what
now.
What was that called?
I've got a Primal Species.
That's it.
Carnosaur. I think it's the full title was Carnosaur 3 Primal Species.
Yes, because I always remember the cover of the fucking movie. The DVD.
That's the only reason I bought the movie. That's the only reason. I was huge on dinosaurs.
It was number 3 as well.
I re-bought that movie a few years ago, primarily, so I could have it. And I have it as a 4-disc DVD with that, a Dolph Lundgren movie I've never seen, Death by Temptations, which is a Troma movie, and a terrible movie called The Mummy 2 Legend of the Tomb, which is so bad. I have not seen Primal Species since I was that young kid. I remember where we bought that. We bought that in Blackpool.
Did you?
I bought that DVD in Blackpool, yeah.
That's good memory. That's very good memory.
I do have a good memory for stuff. I also remember we watched Swamp Thing in Blackpool.
Yeah, we did.
Swamp
Thing.
It was an episode of Swamp Thing, I remember. And we went to an alien museum.
I remember the alien museum.
I remember getting this DVD. I think it was on. I think it was on the market. It was on the market. I saw this DVD and I asked my parents for it because it had a dinosaur on the picture and it looked like Jurassic Park. And that at that time and that space in my head, that's all that mattered. It did not matter any more than that. I put that movie in and I convinced myself for a long time that I liked that movie. I've not seen it a long time since.
It got bad reviews. So you could potentially say this could have a cult following somewhere because, like yourself,
if anyone else has
you
seen
have
it.
Fond memories of it from when you watched it. Hence why you brought the DVD years later.
Yes.
So technically you could tick this down as a cult movie, but these are the cult movies that I'm way more interested in as well. These movies where it's like, oh yeah, fucking hell, that movie. They're the movies I'm interested in. Not the ones where it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Dazed and Confused. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's not really a cult movie, is it? Like, yeah, it came out. Well, didn't have a big following at the time, but now people love it. It was just don't interest
this,
me.
This is the question. This is the question I have for you now. Go on. Does a movie, can a movie sometimes declassify itself as a cult movie?
Yes. When it becomes too popular.
The big one that I'm talking about, the elephant in the room, Blade Runner. Obviously massively disliked when it first came out and was championed by people as a cult movie, now as hailed as one of the great sci-fi movies ever made. Would you say that's still a cult movie, or would you say it is declassified itself?
Yeah, it has. It can't, I'm sorry, but there is, because you know what a cult is, don't we? We all know what a cult is, right? This is not a cult anymore. You know, this doesn't have a cult of people. This has everyone loves this movie. Everyone who loves movies loves this movie or pretends to love this movie because they know that they have to in order to be accepted within the world of film. You know what I mean?
Much like a cult, actually.
Yeah, kind of. That's pretty cultish, to be fair, actually.
Yeah. That's the most cultish thing we've ever seen.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a huge movie now. Like, everyone knows what this movie. There aren't many people who don't know about this movie. There aren't many people who haven't seen this movie. And there probably aren't many people that don't like this movie. It can't be a cult movie. It's just a good movie.
I mean, there are so many. I mean, The Big Lebowski is another one.
There's the threshold, I would say, is from cult to classic. You can jump over. You can't be both. I don't think you can be...
Yeah.
You know, they say cult classics.
You can't be a cult classic.
You can, but you're only a classic within the cult universe.
Yeah.
These movies are just classics now. Blade Runner, classic.
I agree. I think you can get like a... It's like a... Like if you've been in the gang too long and you start to hang out with the popular kids, you know, you can't hang around.
You can't go back
with like the you can't go back. You're now a popular kid. Yeah. You have to accept your fate.
Yeah, and if you try and go back, but they ain't gonna accept you. All right.
But in some ways, if you think about it, the cult has won. The Blade Runner cult has won. They have convinced everyone that they were right all along and everyone else was wrong. So the cult of Blade Runner has now championed it into a classic. So, you know, if look at it that way, it's a positive, not a negative thing not to be in the cult.
It's always a positive. There's no such thing as being a good movie being a negative. That doesn't, you know, there's no such thing as a movie being so good that you don't like it anymore. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't happen like that. I don't like this movie because everyone likes this movie.
Sometimes.
Maybe the Marvel films, actually. I probably have to say that they actually annoy me how much people like those movies.
I have a small hatred for a movie I love. A small hatred.
Because people like it too. It's,
yes, it is. The Big Lebowski is the movie I'm talking about. Now, yeah. I remember the first time I saw The Big Lebowski. And everyone else will have this story of, oh, I was the first one to really like it. I don't know if I was the first, but when I watched it, it was before I was ever on the internet. And I'll recall you back to a time that is long since lost. And you'll remember this time. Back on VHSs, you had an SP and an LP. Short play and a long play, right?
Yeah, you do.
You could extend the video. Now, one thing I used to love doing as a kid, because I was a pretty sad loser kid, I used to like to watch the end of every video to see what was on the end of it. Like, if there was something recorded, I want to know what was after it. And sometimes I found some nuggets, and that's how I first found The Big Lebowski. It was on the end of a video. Like, it was back when I believe it was called Sky Max. Do you remember when it was Sky Movie Max?
Oh, yeah.
When they used to be called Sky Movie Max. And at the end, they had The Big Lebowski. I watched the first 40 minutes of this movie. For a long time, I only watched the first 40 minutes of The Big Lebowski. Three times. Never saw the end. And then suddenly it was on TV when I was a little bit older and I watched the entire thing. But I really liked that movie. I knew nothing about... Nobody I knew was talking about that movie. It it was pretty, even when I went on the internet at the later on in life, nobody really talked about the Big Lebowski, and suddenly it got this boom, and suddenly everybody likes the Big Lebowski, suddenly everybody's quoting it. And a part of me hates it because I feel like, where were you when I liked it? You know, I feel like that. I feel like how probably Blade Runner fans feel like, where were you when I liked this movie?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, fair. That's a cool way to discover the movie as well. You don't get stories like that anymore, do you? How good were VHS? VHS was so good, but also crazy because you put it in, press record, and that shit would just keep going until you stopped it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. You're picking up all sorts of stuff. Also, you had the adverts. Winding through the advert. I always used to love it when...
Love the adverts.
I used to, because we had, like, there was loads of VHSs, weren't there? Just, like, tapes. Some of them were listed as what they are. Some of them were just completely blank, completely lottery. You put it in and you get an episode of, like, Fawlty Towers or something like that, or One Foot in the Grave. You know what I mean? You get stuff like that, and you'd be like, fucking hell. And then you'd go through it and you'd watch the old adverts. They were good. I would kill to go through a bunch of VHS tapes again to see what
I wish I kept mine.
Yeah.
I wish I kept mine. I wish I kept all the ones I recorded. And one, this is a cult thing as well. This is not a movie. This is a TV show. And I wish I kept this VHS. You might know what I'm going to say. Glam Metal Detectives. Yeah. Love that. That is a cult TV show.
Yeah,
love it.
That's a
wish
cult
I still
TV
had
show.
That.
I would say... I would say that is because there aren't many people that know that even exists. But the people that do...
And I still quote that movie. I still quote that movie.
The people that...
That TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you watched it quite a bit. But yeah, the people that... This, I would say, defines cult is that not many people know it exists, but the people who do fucking love it, you know?
Yep.
They are obsessed.
And I didn't like the Glam Metal Detectives. Like, that was the least of it. I liked the in-between adverts... And the smaller shows like Betty's Mad Dash, or the gangster one. But I used to like the TV shows or the adverts, like come to Nobby's Noshop, we got the best food, or just come for a chat, or Scandal in a Diving Bell, or the Gigolo that used to like say, oh, I'll even take out your rubbish too. just things like that. I love that.
Kind of got an air of Rick and Morty about it, hasn't it, in a way?
Yeah, it is. It's pre Rick and Morty, and it is just great. It is. I constantly try and find that on YouTube to watch, just because it reminds me of a happy time. And I think it got cancelled as well. So that's another cult status right there. It got cancelled way too soon.
Yeah, that's very cult. That's very cult that it got cancelled. Yeah.
But yeah, go down the line, because for me, I don't know about you, but for me, what defines a cult movie I love is maybe something that I was introduced to at a young age and I didn't really understand what it was, but I loved it. For example, I know you'll know Mr. Richard and Lawrence.
Yep.
Cut out their surname because we've already done this twice.
He's cut me out it this first time. Go on.
I can't stop myself. I'm gonna like
tell them
sign
where they
it
live
in
next.
The air. Just so I know it is there. Yeah, I'll tell them where they live and their social security number as well. They used to have like videos, and I remember them showing me
they
Big Trouble
movie,
in Little China.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that is on the cusp of... I still think it's a cult movie, but it could edge into classic.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this might still be a cult movie. I think this still might... just about be a cult movie. It's very close to being a classic. I don't think enough people know about it. I still don't think enough people know about it.
I think it's still too weird. I think it's still too weird for people. Like that one, I mean, there's so many. I mean, go on, list a few that
you caught me on the spot there. I'm trying to go as obscure as possible now. So every other thing that I've written down, I've completely dismissed because I want to go as obscure as humanly possible. Just got to try and think back to a movie that I watched or owned. Have you got another one while I'm thinking?
Yeah, I'm just looking over there. Like Motel Hell, that's a movie I would consider a cult movie. It takes all kind of critters to make farmer jars, fritters. The Fun House, again, any Tobe Hooper one that wasn't a big success. The Burbs. I'd say The Burbs is a cult movie. I'd say The Evil Dead is still a cult movie. I don't think that trilogy is beloved by people. I think it's become a franchise, but I feel it's a cult franchise. I don't think it's beloved. I'd even say the Romero Dead trilogy is a cult thing.
Romero Dead trilogy? Have I seen that? Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Dawn of the Dead, sorry. Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead.
Because you've got other movies like Clerks. It's now a classic.
Yeah, I'd say Clerks is maybe borderline still a cult movie. If you were talking about 10 years ago, I would say you're right. It probably is a classic. I think now it's probably moved back into a cult. I think they can shift sometimes.
Can you go back? I don't know if anyone's watching Clerks.
Some can go back. Some can, like they can go with the popular crowd and then they realize that they're not cool anymore. They have to reclaim their status. I don't know if Clerks is that big. Something like... I don't think any Kevin Smith film could really be that popular. I think they are kind of cultish. I think he's a very cult director. I don't think he's translated the way that Quentin Tarantino has to a mass audience.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. What was the movie that we saw back in the day where they're eaten by killer ants, but they're like little ants? What was that movie called? Because there's a few movies that are like that.
I found that a long time ago. I tried to... That's a TV movie. I remember finding that. I can't remember what it was called.
It wasn't called Empire of Ants, was it? Legion of Fire, Killer Ants? Legion of Fire,
I think it might be that one. Is it a TV movie?
Why did it have to be called Legion of Fire, Killer Ants?
It's the one...
It's a TV movie, yeah.
It's the one that I always remember. You see an ant walk off with a human ear.
I think.
If that's the one. And like a giant.
Yeah, I think this is it. Hill, this is the one. Yeah, this is the one. Because the big ant hill. Yeah, because this was good because they were eaten by the actual little ants. I don't like it when they make bugs big for a movie. I think it's lazy. Oh, he's lazy. You know, like lazy giant bugs. Spiders. Lazy. Spiders are scary enough. If there's a million spiders coming at you, I'm shit myself. They don't have to be 10 foot big and three of them. A million. If there's three coming towards me, I'm shit myself. If there's one coming towards me, I'm shit myself. It doesn't have to be big. Like, the fucking...
There's just a shadow of one coming towards you.
That's even scary. Where is it? I don't know where it is. That's even scarier.
Is this back to that time when that spider landed on you?
That was a horrible experience that I wish never happened. But both of us were scared, all right? We have to remember that. It wasn't in his plan to fall on me.
Not me and you. I was not there at the time.
But I don't think it was in his plan to land on me either. But it was scary.
No, as not your plan to be there as the parish, like a safety net for the spider land on.
He landed pretty well, but anyway, Legion of Fire, Killer Ants. I would say this is a cult movie. This is on fucking Amazon Prime. You can watch this. Amazon Prime.
It's one that I'd like to see again. It's been some of these cult movies. I'm afraid that I won't like anymore. Like that. Like as a kid, I remember like the ant walking off with an ear. And thinking, wow, that was scary. Nowadays, I might look at that and say, that's not a real ant. Not even sure that's a real ant.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be scared. But there were loads of these movies that used to come on late at night. There was the one with the teeth. Do you remember that one? With the chattering teeth.
Yeah. What?
No, not
teeth,
that one.
Teeth, the one that we did? That would be a cult movie. Teeth would be a cult movie.
Now, this is a movie about like a pair of false teeth that was killing people. Was just going along chomping people.
I believe that was a anthology horror story movies with Stephen King. Maybe I think it's a Stephen King one. I think.
Or am I thinking of the wheel one?
There's some.
There was a wheel one.
don't know. Yeah. There's so many weird shit we watched as kids. As any kid would watch weird shit. I mean, what about Good Burger? Good Burger's a cult movie, would you say?
Is Good Burger a cult movie? I do like that movie. I think
the only people that like that movie are Keenan and Kel fans. So surely that is a cult movie, because I can't imagine anyone else liking it.
Yeah, maybe. There's probably another Keenan and Kel movie, which I would say is more... The Hoarders one is probably more culty, because I don't think many people have seen that movie. I'll be honest. I think more people have probably seen Good Burger than that movie.
I don't know. It's a hard one, because it was in such a period of time where I believe that every movie that I saw was what someone else saw. And now I'm in the opposite world.
No one's seen. Yeah.
Every movie that I see, no one's seen.
Well, I mean, yeah, fair. That probably is true. Probably is absolutely true.
I mean, there's a few that like really stick out for me. So we said, like, I mean, Warriors. Yeah, I think that is a cult,
because you wouldn't say that's a classic.
No, I think that is a cult movie. There's one, Repo Man, which I'm not even sure I like. It's a weird movie, which people really love, really talk about, really hold to high regard. Donnie Darko, famous cult movie. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, I think that's got to count. I mean, it lived by its midnight viewings. I mean, I would love to go to a Rocky Picture Horror Show screening just to see the theatrics of it all. And for me, that's a cult movie. I think that might be the cult movie.
Yeah, but would you not say that's now a classic?
I don't know, because I feel like I don't know any other movie that has a cult like the Rocky Horror Picture Show that is so theatrical that I feel like, is it the movie that's beloved or the theatrics that's beloved? It's this hard comparison right there. What I really like, The Blob, in the 1950s, The Blob, which I saw, Cinemassacre did it, where they went to a place called Blobtown, where they filmed The Blob. Sorry. And they have a Blob Festival where they do all this stuff Blob-related. And I thought, that is so cool. Like, that is such a nerdy, cool thing that I would love to be a part of. And just the idea of it, I think that is cultish. You know, it's small. It's like we're talking about not enough people to, like, it's like small. They do things like, they do really small town things, like a Steve McQueen lookalike contest. You know, stuff like that. It's not like anything like grandiose.
It's definitely not grandiose. That's for certain.
So, I mean, I think even these days, there's more chance of having cult movies because of how movies are fed to us now. I mean, they're streamed, aren't they? So there's a lot of movies that can completely go under the radar, especially with such a strong grip on the industry like the Marvel and the world-building franchises have, that some movies, like, for example, The Empty Man, could just be a cult movie that will always be a cult movie.
There's always that chance. I think if a movie gets remade as well, there's a chance it could, because the original could catch traction and then kind of move away from its cult-like status. Would you say The Beach is a cult movie? The Leo DiCaprio one? Because that's kind of like split viewers.
Yeah, it's not a very light movie. Yeah, I'd say that could be a potential cult movie, yeah.
Is that, I mean, I didn't mind that movie. I remember when I first saw that movie, I felt like, because it was one of, I watched the movie when I was like young, so I wasn't meant to be watching it. It was just on TV and I was watching it. I felt like, maybe I liked it even more then because of that. I was watching it and I wasn't supposed to be watching it. Yeah, it was kind of like that.
It's like risque.
Butterfly Effect.
Yeah, I don't think enough people like that movie. that I would say that's a cult movie. What about the Sharknado?
They're just shit, though, aren't they? They probably are a cult movie because there are some people that probably fucking love them.
And they made so many, so there must be a reason. You wouldn't make so many if they didn't.
They made money. Have so, bands, somehow they you? Made money. But yeah, I tried to watch one. I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. So it's not for me.
They're hard.
Yeah, I'm not
they're
a big fan of them type of movies anyway.
They're hard to get through.
They're a slug.
No, you like your sharks to be of actual size.
I like normal sharks. Jaws is about as far as it goes.
No, normal sharks, normal spiders, normal ants. You like things to be of the proportion
Don't
that God intended them to be.
I'm more scared by something that I know could potentially actually kill me. There was a time when I was like, killer ants, are they real with that thing? Can I get killed by ants? I thought killer ants are real. I don't think they're real. They're not real, are they?
They are real, yeah. I think they're called
whichever country
ants.
They're in, I'm never going to that country.
I remember as a kid, I used to watch a lot of the documentaries about the poisonous animals and all of this and insects. And they're all in Australia. And I used to always think, why would you live in Australia?
Yeah,
everything's going to kill you.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. There's no reason to live in fucking Australia. All right. This is no bloody reason.
No. I mean, around here, sometimes the hedgehogs look at you a bit funny, but you just move along. You don't get too close. Don't get in a steering contest with a hedgehog. Well, you're going to lose.
You will actually lose. So don't bother. Yeah, it kind of scares me. It kind of scares me. The idea of like just a creature I've never seen before suddenly being a normal thing. It's scary. Not for me. I'll pass. But cult movies. Have we anything left to say about cult movies?
I suppose let's just say, what would you consider your favorite cult movie? One that you would champion? Like if you could make a cult or join a cult, if there was like a load of like petitions signed up and all these like desks of join our cults, which one would you gravitate towards? Which one would be?
Do you know what? I think it would have to be Dog Soldiers, because I think that was my favorite movie for a long time when I was a kid, and I don't think enough people have seen it. And I think people, when they do see it, they'll like the movie. And I feel like it deserves a bit more of a status within cinema. So I'm going to go Dog Soldiers. What would yours be? Okay.
I'm going to go Class of Nukem High. I'm going to go in the trauma wagon. For exactly the same sort of reasons. Yeah. I just think they're misunderstood movies. I think they're movies that are just like, you know what? Just fucking have fun. Like, they are meant to be ridiculous. They're meant to be stupid. That's the whole point. It's time to... Some movies are, like, cerebral and serious, and you go, oh, this is very... Like, there's a lot to take from here. And some movies are just fun, and they just tick off the boxes. And for me, Class of Nukem High is a cult
I agree.
Enjoy.
I agree. So this week's movie, I have decided to go for a movie which, I suppose, on the topic of cult movies, this could potentially be considered a cult movie. I don't know how big this movie actually is, but I remember we loved it when we were growing up. Evolution. Do you remember that movie?
I do. I think it could. I think it was a bit of a flop when it first came out. So
I think it was as well. But I remember we used to love this movie. We used to quote this movie a lot. There were a lot of quotes from this movie. And I haven't seen it since, I'll be honest.
I've still got it on DVD, but I have not seen it in a while.
Nor have I. I think it would be
good. It was like one of the third. It was early one DVD I got. I mean, it was one of the first ones I got. Because I always remember the cover, don't you?
Yeah, the cover was Yeah.
Weird sort of like bluish, like shiny, bubbly sort of colour.
Yeah, I can't remember what you would call that. It was very, it was reflective, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a reflective colour.
It was a reflective colour. Yeah, I remember loving this movie when it first came out. So yeah, let's see how it held up. Maybe it held up well. Maybe it did.
You're going to destroy my childhood.
It could destroy my own childhood as well. But for the people that haven't seen the movie, I'll just give you a brief overview of what it's about. It's on Amazon Prime, of course. Everything fucking is. When a meteor crashes on Earth, it brings with it single-celled organisms which evolve rapidly. However, four professionals stumble upon these aliens and must stop their growth to avoid an invasion. Yeah. This feels like it could be a forgotten movie, I'll be honest.
I agree. And then the late, great Ivan Reitman.
There you go.
He directed this movie.
Another reason.
And you say it's on Amazon Prime?
To give it a watch. It is on Amazon Prime for free, yeah. You can watch it. And that is what we'll be watching next week.
Perfect.
I think there's only one way to end this podcast, and that's with the music of... What was the film called?
You fucked it up. What, Carnival of Souls?
No, the high school film. What was...
Oh, Class of Nukem High.
Play us out, Class of Nukem High.
Feel, smell, or taste the remnants of a nuclear waste.